That's Robert Nesta Marley. We know him as Bob Marley with One Love. It's from his 1977 album, Exodus, and became an international anthem for justice and peace. The song initially was recorded in 1966 as a ska single by the Wailers, Marley's original group. But when Marley re-recorded it in 1977, he gave co-authorship credit to soul and gospel singer and musician Curtis Mayfield, whose message music inspired the reggae legend and many, many other artists from all around the African diaspora. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and this is the fifth of 7 days of Kwanzaa, ending on January the 1st. Today is the day to practice the purpose, the principle of Nia, meaning purpose. That is to give meaning to building community and developing community in order to inspire further a sense of lineage and a sense of belonging and a sense of responsibility to the concept of community. Well, we are closing out the year 2016 as it happens. Today is our last Free Your Mind Friday of the year. And we have been looking, since the week began, at the year in review, taking a look at the major issues or the issues you consider to be major and significant for the year, and how and why you consider these issues that you would point out to us as being significant or having the greatest impact in the year 2016. We had quite a few callers yesterday who weren't able to get in because I do like not to kind of rob you of time to make your point. So you shouldn't be wary about that. You should be comforted to know that we try to give you as much space as possible to say what you have to say. But we can start right away with John from Brooklyn. Hello, John.
Yes, good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
Fine, I'm hanging in. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, too. And first of all, hanging in by the tips of my fingers. It's been an interesting year. But first of all, a pre-happy new year to you and best wishes for an amazing 2017.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I do have absolute great expectations for the coming year. And I hope other people will have that same sense as well as we move forward into this sort of unknown territory. But I did want to say, first of all, thank you so much for everything that you do. And I am a recent listener. I started listening to you back in July. And when I heard one of your first shows on clarity, and that has become my hallmark, my banner.
You are a clarity convert?
Yes, I am. And I have not always agreed with everything. And there, you know, but and you definitely gave me a new perspective on Mrs. Clinton. But I do have clarity on that now, and as well as Mr. Obama and some of his failures, for to be quite honest. And thank you for that, because you know he has failed in some ways that are very significant. But I won't be long. But I just want to say that I am moving forward in this new year with a sense of clarity and purpose. And thank you for encouraging that with your listeners. One last thing, I think there's huge opportunity in the midst of this year that we're coming into, and people should sort of keep that in mind and know that we will prevail, but we must have clarity and work in collectively in our interests to create a better future for all of us. But I
well,
did
that
want to
brings us
that.
To the end of the program today. We have had the definitive sermon today. We cannot disagree with anything you've just said. So you've just ended the whole program.
Oh, well, let's keep going forward. But thank you so much. And I definitely you're a light in the darkness. And I know that everyone doesn't agree with everything, and certainly, but you force us to a point of clarity and to looking in the mirror and really having some real sense of what is actually going on and how we need to address it. So thank you with that. I'll let others have a chance, but again, Happy New Year, and I look forward to continuing the New Year. Listening.
I thank you so much, John, for those very kind thoughts and very generous thoughts, and I'm with you. Let's hope that we can do something very, very positive this year that allows us to get to the point of clarity about where we are and what we can do, how we can contribute, and how we can develop ourselves to
Absolutely.
Continue to do that kind of work. Thanks so much
Absolutely.
For calling and getting us started today.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ma'at from New York. Haven't heard from you in a while. You're on the air.
The beloved family, sometimes I just give up. And recently had the opportunity to peruse some of the Western Caribbean with the Nation magazine annual cruise. And one of the things that I appreciate bringing up in terms of the previous caller and your efforts toward clarity is a point I made in one of the seminars, and that is, of course, everybody trying to get their head around this Trump's the phenomenon. And I suggested that this would be the time for us to connect that phenomenon to the Reichstag fire in Nazi Germany, where the communists were blamed. And it caused a lot of reverberation. So at dinner, people would ask me about that, and I couldn't quite clarify the point. Phyllis Dennis was one of the dinner guests that I got to dine with, that you get one choice of the, not your choice, but you get to be with one of the panelists. And she was before the panel that I brought it up. So some of the guests at dinner wanted me to clarify it further. And I think it's very important because I think Trump represents everything that went wrong or that resulted from the false flag of September 11th, 01. I didn't get to make the point of Dr. Judy Wood, but she asked us a question as to how we think about these things. And, of course, she brought up the fact that that was a directed energy weapon that was used to bring those towers down, and it could put our planet in two or three. So I just wanted to put that out. And you, Treats, because it is Free Your Mind Friday, and I managed to get through, how wonderful, is I also want to say that as Obama returns from his Hawaiian, Christmas vacation, that we should all come together. And in light of everyone who needs to be either receive clemency or pardon, we need to get our calls into that 202-456-1111. And in addition to Leonard Peltier, who's spent an extraordinary amount of time in prison for ballistics that one judge confirmed that does not add up to what the FBI positive in his railroaded trial. We also need to call for all the Black Panthers, Brother Mutulu Shakur. There's Panthers who've maxed out their sentence, such as Deronza Bowers, I believe his name is, and many others. And I hope that we could do a joint effort or a coordinated effort, because Obama needs to do something and to open up the gates of the incarceral state. And that's my 2 points.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. This year, it's what I would like to encourage is to put less focus on the system itself, because I think we have a reasonably good handle on where it's headed. Of course, we have to discuss it, but I would prefer that we focus more inward on the community from which we come and ways in which we begin to organize it so that we can find some method of and some vehicle of defense. Because even if we were to know everything that Trump is going to do, the main point that I've been hammering at is that we have no defense systems, no effective defense systems. And we're out of time, practically. So we have to get on the good foot, as James Brown used to say. We have to get on the good foot and construct something, and it's not going to happen without very serious organizing. And that's both individually organizing ourselves and organizing our communities, not just for this immediate administration coming in, but beyond it as well. We really have very few methods of defense, and this is going to be a major problem for us. Thanks for calling. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Professor. How are you doing?
Hello, Professor Ali. How are you?
I wanted to wish everyone, all the peer and listener, a happy new year to you and all of them.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. And I just wanted to say, just concentrated in one thing and one thing only, is about what's happening in North Carolina with the new governor, how their Senate, I guess the Senate in North Carolina, either they took his power down or they're going to vote to take his power out of the governorship. And the reason that I'm bringing that out there is because when we march here in New York City, we said if we don't get it, shut it down. This is what the Republican Party they have done, and they will continue doing. And it, with the election of Trump, it's like, remember that Trump said that he didn't want to accept the election if he didn't win.
Correct.
So every time that I remember that, and I remember this, what is happening in North Carolina, it's like if we don't get it, we're going to shut it down. And this is what is happening. And I'm going back to this issue about voting. I really, really wanted to know, when we go out and vote, what again and again, what are we voting for? Because if this gentleman, he won the governorship in North Carolina, and now his power is going to be taken away from him, why did the people that voted for him went to the booth to vote for? And then you go back to Flint, you go back to Detroit. It's the same situation. These people, they voted for a mayor, and the governor took the power away from the mayor and the city council and put this emergency manager. So you had asked about that question. What is the thing that is affecting us? But I'm talking about me personally. That affects all of us. Because if you go out there thinking that your vote counts, how come this thing is happening all around this country? And I brought out the situation with New York City, where the former mayor Bloomberg, we voted twice for 10 limits, and he went and he took the 10 limits down for him to run this third time. So again and again, I'm asking people, does our vote really count when we go and vote on those big days, either for the mayor, the presidential election, and all these things? And this is what I'm thinking about when you had asked that question. If that affect me, yes, affect me directly, because affected me years ago when I went twice and voted for 10 limits in this city. So I just wanted to put that out there, and I know there is a lot of people that would like to get on the phone, and if you have any comments on what I'm saying, but I'm just going to get off the phone so that I could get other people on, you know, to come
but
with their
before
ideas.
You go, before you go, I just wanted to figure out from you, what do you have as a game plan, as a possible game plan against this?
Well, right now, I'm just like you, Utrice. I went and I voted for the November election, but it wasn't a vote that I was voting actually for that person that I went and voted for. It was a vote against Hillary Clinton. As you know, we have a blue state, but that's what I did. I just voted for that Green Party, which I don't believe in the Green Party. That's the part I don't believe in, especially for what she did in Michigan and recount and all that. But that was a vote against. But I don't think voting really. A lot of people wanted to convince me that if I don't vote, I'm throwing my votes away. But every time that I see that, and what I'm doing is what I have been doing. Yeah, I know a lot of people disagree with me about marching, but you have to be out there. Like now, next week or the following week before he takes office, I'm going to go to the Radio City Music Hall, with a sign, because as you know, the racket, and it's not even because they're going to go and perform for his inauguration, but it's about the racism that is also in the industry, that controls the racket. As you know, the 12 women that they have a contract, I don't think there is a woman of color in that contract. Yeah, there is about, I think it's 30 of them, but within that 30, there is a very few women of color. And then, and that's the only, the few things that I could do. I belong to three different groups, and one group we meet on Friday at 60 Wall at 7 o'clock. It's a very small group. You know, we get together. We're going to be doing a conference on housing. So that's what the kind of thing, because you know what is happening in the city with gentrification, and we need to fight this mayor, the mayor that is supposed to be a liberal, progressive, which he's not, with these people of color that they have taken the city council, and they don't do anything for us. They're just pushing us from the city. So this is the kind of things, and that group that I belong on Friday, we are going to organize a conference on housing for the month at the end of March or the beginning of April. So those are the kind of little things that we could do that I'm participating with. And, you know, what else can we do? Those are the things that you have to do. Talk to people and bring people out and fight this system. That's, you know, that's what I would be doing during the year.
That's right on the needle. That's incredible. And that's something you should be congratulated for, because when you call in, and if people are listening closely to what you're saying, is that you recognize you're up against a tough enemy, but it does not deter you, and it does not discourage you, and it does not make you believe that you have zero power. You have no power at all to do anything. This has been your constant and consistent message for all the time that you've been calling in on the program. I thank you for that very much, Ali. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Happy
888-874-4888. We're taking calls about what you think about this past year, the year to come, and anything else you want to share with us as a way of doing our peer education, peer-to-peer education, when we meet here for Free Your Mind Friday. It's vitally important for us not to be discouraged. Quite the opposite. We should be emboldened, because the stakes are so high and the odds are so great, which is all the more reason that we have to be very determined. And we must demand accountability from any system that we invest in. And this is something I'm going to be addressing in the new year. We cannot allow even so-called progressive organizations give them a pass. No, many of them are underperforming and at the wrong time. You know, we can't allow that. We have to call them out publicly, and we have to let them know that because we had such a stake and still do have such a stake in their success, that we demand accountability from them. They have to be in place, and they have to be in communication and in touch with people's concerns and needs. But most importantly, they have to lead in a different way. It is not about, well, this is the party I'm with, and I'm hoping that you could support the party I'm with, and that is enough. No. Whether you succeed at the polls or you don't succeed at the polls, you should by now, I'm referring now to the Green Party by now, 2 months down the road, should have issued or called together a convention of some sort to go in nuts and bolts details as to what went wrong and how the party is going to reshape itself and reclaim its space in this political process that we're in right now. We don't have an election going, but we certainly have political work to do, and we cannot allow a repeat of the business of, well, stand by until we call you. We'll call you when we need you. And no, we cannot adopt any of the practices and beliefs of the system that we're trying to fight. We have to find a new way of operating, a brand new way of operating, and because the path before us is very, very challenging, and we will need to have some degree of faith in the leadership that we are supporting. And one of the ways to do it is through self-examination. As an editor of a newspaper, we used to come out on the newsstands on between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. But you can bet on Wednesdays, by 10 o'clock, we are at work. What are we doing? We are critiquing and tearing apart the paper that just came out. We have the staff that put it together. But of course, you know, putting together a newspaper, we don't get to see the whole thing, except for me, I'm the one putting it together. But the staff as a whole would see their stories in the making, it, you know, edited and so forth. But Wednesdays would be the day that we would see the entire product put together. And our first task was to dissect the paper, go through it, critique it, find whatever faults we need to find and correct them. We would congratulate each other on a job well done. And we would try to find ways to make the following week's edition even better. But it would not happen unless we immediately take stock of the product that we have produced. That gives us reason to proceed smarter. Because what was guiding us was the consciousness that a whole bunch of people out there were depending on this paper, and we had set a standard, and there is no reason to feel calm and relaxed that you have achieved the standard so you can rest on your laurels. No way. The first thing we would do is critique the entire paper, tear it apart, section by section, and look at what it is we produced, whether we felt proud of it, whether we felt that we could do more, whether we had made some mistakes. People probably would never know, but we knew things that we could have avoided and things that we should be doing in the following week. Right after that, we would plan the next week's edition. We will have some ice cream and cake, and then we will relax for a couple of hours and get back down to work for the following week. But the point I'm trying to make more than anything else is you always have to be self-critical. It's not about you. It's about the work that you are doing, presumably in service of the community. So it is in their best interest that you do your best work. And that's what I'm hoping that we would see in many of these smaller parties. They may not have, you know, gotten impressive numbers at the polls, but I'm troubled that we're not seeing a process that should be ongoing right now and involving accountability between the parties and the people who did turn out to vote for them. Tell us what went wrong. Why were the numbers so abysmal? What is happening? These are the signs of healthy growth. But 2 months in, and we're not hearing anything from the parties as to why things did not go as well for them as they did. All right? So we have to constantly remember that this is not about us. This is not about us individually. We have to be constantly in touch with the idea that we're functioning in the interest of a broad range of people and therefore are accountable to them. Gino from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Oh, good day, Utrice.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, good. Well, outside my back being out of alignment, pretty good. I'm all right to complain about it. But just for a few seconds. I'm on the mend. I can walk a little faster, but that's not why I called up. But just to let you know, we all get pruned in life. I hope to bear better fruit. Utrice, good day to you and the audience. Brothers and sisters out there, if you get your pen, I got a little Christmas, new season, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah offering, something that will uplift your hearts and minds that I discovered recently. There's a young lady, you know that saying, a little child shall lead them. I discovered her, you may know of this young lady, Kiani Kramaki. Do you know her?
No.
Akiani, I'm sorry. Akiani, see, it's so new to me. It's a Lithuanian name. Akiani means ocean in Russian. A-K-I-A-N-E, Akiani Kramaki, K-R-A, I think it's M-A-K-E. It'll come up with Akiani. She's been on Oprah, there's a really funny segment with, what's his name, that comedian from Scotland late at night. She grew up, just something for feeding the faith for us. She grew up in a home with an atheist mother and an agnostic father, homeschooled, didn't have a TV. I found out yesterday because being homebound for the last couple of days, I tuned into a lot of YouTubey talks with documentaries on her and TV shows. What a spirited young lady who, really, I got to say, she's a genius. I mean, at 4 years old, she's painting on the wall. She wanted paints. She was drawing. Her mother got her some paints at 6, and you got to see what she's painting at 6 years old, 8 years old. She's about 21 now. So yesterday, tied in with the regimen you got on, and many folks who listen to Gary and other people, I found out yesterday at 12 years old, she became a vegetarian because she loves animals a lot and she felt she didn't really need to eat them. And her mother would say, she'd see her working. Sometimes she'd be working for 14, 16 hours a day on a painting, and her mother would try and feed her 2-3 days later and she wasn't eating. And she said, I live on the light of God. Now, she has really inspired her family to turn around, but she learned to drive a plane at 16. She's learned 4 languages. She's learning music now, and she works with the children. A lot of the money she's making now with the paintings, some can go for $1 million. She's really keen on the combining the oneness of all the races. She painted one picture combining all the races of a young girl, beautiful young girl, looking up in wonderment. But you can see there's a segment with Sting with one of his songs with all her pictures. So I laughed, even though I was in pain more yesterday. Hearing what was coming through this young lady, I said, this is the light. This is the stuff that's anti-Trump, anti, Clinton, anti-Bush, anti-darkness. And it's really about the what really the creative intelligence, whatever you put a name on that put us here. Here's a young lady growing up with such freedom that her parents let her go in that direction, and with no schooling, and definitely an advanced soul. But she really, I think it'll bring a smile to a lot of people's faces, and that's my little offering for this season, that I can't pack everything and give it to your large audience. But during this Christmas, I believe always existing time of loving communion, that's what it means, that's my gift to you and your audience for something to bring a smile to your faces. The segment with Oprah and Craig Ferguson, that's the segment where she was on a comedian show, very funny. And I have a lot of hope for her, and she's on my prayer list because most of my teachers are really in the inter-between world. You know, they're in the spirit world. But here's somebody that's live and young, and I got a lot of hope for her, and I hope, my prayers guides her that she doesn't get thwarted in what may come through her. She's got some prophecies, and who knows what direction God will use her in, but it's just an incredible story. It's a hopeful story, inspiring story, and it's something like Pablo Picasso said, all children are born autistic. We just have to remember that as we grow older to use those faculties. So I got a little long-winded there, but then again, Utrice, I've been cabin-bound here in the home for the last few days, so some of that excess energy is coming through on the phone.
Well, thank you, Gino. Thanks so much for your call today.
You,
very uplifting. But can I ask you a question?
Yes.
In light of what you just shared, what part of you do you see genius in?
Well, I'll tell you, when I there are moments where, I guess in my meditations, I do transcend my conditioned mindset, you know. I can transcend my upbringing, my limitations. And I think somebody said, you know, when I say I am, we're at the highest truth. When I say Gino, I'm going to diminish it a bit, considering, you know, this is like one chapter out of a very big book, and I believe we come back. So when I do my meditations, I get to a place in me that is so fresh and spontaneous, a smile comes on my face, and that's when I feel, if I were to pick up a pen or an organ, a keyboard for my wife for Christmas. I always wanted a piano since I'm a kid. And if I sat down at one, you know, I could pass hours not knowing A from a B, but make myself laugh, make myself cry. And so anything that's creative really is just more attenuated from getting to that place of mind where it goes from the reasoning, logical limitations to an intuitive place, an authentic self, all these labels. You know, the superconscious mind seems to come through. And that's when I say my prayers. That's when I come out, you know, I can hug somebody or I say hello and I mean it. Or feed the cats. There's about 9 of them out here now between the backyard and up the block. They seem to smell the food on the other one's mouth. But little things. But the thing, the main thing is, so the creativity, even in a phone call, I think, if this is unscripted, you know, it's just being in the moment and being in the flow, you know, trying to go to a place that's fresh and new, yet it feels so familiar, because I believe, really, I mean, you know, we are made in the image and likeness. But getting to that place, I mean, people dig for gold for 16 hours of people and struggle and die for people to wear trinkets. And, you know, we have a gold in us that nobody could ever take, but who does the work? And that's the beauty, too, with this young girl. Not only does she pick up on the eating vegetarian at 12, but she's learning, she's doing meditations now. And although with her case, because I believe, you know, she came in pretty purely, she's picked up, she was taken to heaven. She's picked up on visions she gets and paintings that she, you got to see these paintings. It's like you wonder, who was she before? Because I don't believe God puts extra, you know, gifts on people. I believe like Mozart, when he was playing piano at 5, it's because he worked hard at it once before, and when he came back, you know, that was all pretty fresh, and he was able to do it at 5 years old. But ultimately, we all come from that. It's just that it gets overlaid with the fear. I think that's the worst thing. The fear causes restriction. The conditioning from religion, where they talk to you about something creative, but they don't, or food, but they don't give you the food to eat. And it's in the book, though. You know, meditate, eat right. The body's a temple. You know, we eat 35 pounds a year. Additives, dyes, preservatives. The cold cuts with the nitrates causing cancer. Even though it tells you to be vegetarian before the fall, and then the meditation part, they never show us, you know, how to experience that instead of talking words. and then doing good deeds. It's not complicated. People get so complicated. It's like I was saying to a friend yesterday, I started doing these YouTube talks. He pushed me for years. And I said, you know, it's true. If you put all the books in the world on the earth, you wouldn't have room to put what you're just saying about the creativity. You wouldn't have room to put it. And people say, oh, that sounds far-fetched. But think of the Hubble telescope looking at the 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars in each one. And that's only a sesame seed of a glimpse. Then you realize this planet is very small, and, you know, you really can't put all the books. So there comes a place where, you know, you're trying to stop counting the stars and enjoy, you know, learn, but also enjoy the experience, enjoy the love. You're never going to figure it out under a microscope. So I know, again, I've been in the house a few days. Excuse me, folks.
Thank you so much for your call. It's very uplifting.
I hope it
causes people to explore that creative side of themselves. Thanks so much. From Brooklyn, Aura, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Greetings and blessings to you, Eutrice, and the PRN audience. Thank you so much for that.
It's always a pleasure when people take the time to acknowledge other listeners, too. That's great.
You really do. You have a great set of callers. I'm learning so much from you and from them. So I really, really value all of the callers in your audience. You all have taught me so much. And I've waited to the end of the year after listening to you for so many years to call in. So you can see I'm late, but I eventually get there. What I really wanted to say is, especially to you and Gary, you all have both enlightened me so much, and speaking of clarity, brought a great deal of clarity to so many different issues, so many different things that I didn't know about. I so really greatly appreciate you and for your health testimony, because so many of us are having challenges in different areas, so you've inspired me there to get healthier and or at least get a plan and get going. So I really wanted to say thank you. You're a blessing for all your work over the years, even though I've really just come to know about you and Gary. I really appreciate everything that you have done so far and look forward to you having a great 2017 and being with you and the rest of the audience. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you so much. But before you go, tell us a little bit about what you think of this past year and what you hope. Well, you've kind of hinted at what you hope that we can accomplish for the new year, but give us a little sense of because you said you just started learning recently, you've started to expand your horizons through PRN. What have you begun to focus on that is important to you?
Oh, wow. Well, I have been, because of you and your focus on systems, and I really started to discover more about like people like Amos Wilson and the different systems in the system of white supremacy and other things, I am now beginning to focus on ministries of service or that concept of ministries of service. What organization can I join where I can start at least putting some of the principles that I've learned from you and Kwanzaa into action? So I've been thinking about joining an organization, at least starting there. To look at maybe UNIA, something like that, that can focus on, as an African woman of African descent, to focus on some of community issues, what I can do there. That's just one small area to give an example. And maybe some kind of church organization where I can do some outreach. So I'm really, because before I was just an observer, and now I realize it can't be business as usual. I really have to be a participant and you know, and get off the sidelines and get active. You know, I feel like this system is showing me that it really is not designed for me and that I have to be active in it, as you and Gary have talked about, in making some changes. So you've gotten me started by listening, and that's what I intend to do for 2017, find an organization that I can plant myself in that at least I agree with most of its principles. It's not going to be perfect. Nobody is, no organization is. But if I can get myself involved in some small way and start to do the principles of Kwanzaa, not just hear about them in theory, then that's where I'm going to start.
Well, that's a very good start. And I congratulate you really for being purposeful about it, purposeful about seeking a way to be of use to others. And you'd be amazed how it would turn out for you yourself. Because, for example, Free Your Mind Friday, I don't exaggerate when I say that I consider this an excellent forum of peer-to-peer education.
Yeah,
and people think it's just conversation we're having here. No, we're teaching each other.
And
it doesn't sound like it, but that's a good thing. It's accessible.
No.
So you hear something and you pick it up and you go, oh, I should check this out. And so a little seed planted and tended to will blossom. And you'd find that in your own way, you are creating incredible circles, concentric circles of change. And you can't get better than that. That's exactly what is needed. And it is great that you have that disposition to explore that as an avenue through which you can make a very solid and meaningful contribution. That's incredible.
Thank
and
you
I congratulate
so much.
You for that.
it's a start, but I was just talking with a friend yesterday, and we were talking about what can we do, because we see the handwriting on the wall. We see the situation is dire and that we can't, you know, continue to be a part of the do-nothing crowd. But we're like, what do? Where do we begin? You know, there's so much work, but we were each talking about it, and we were thinking, well, if there are these different systems in, like, let's say in the system of white supremacy, as Francis Cress-Welsing laid them out, maybe wherever our talents are, we can do some work in one of those system areas, like if it's education or if it's a law, like Alton Maddox, you know, wherever our talents or gifts may lie, that could be the area where we could start to affect some sort of change or movement. So,
well, you know, you'd find something interesting happening, and that is your so-called qualifications aren't an issue.
Okay.
Just your determination and your willingness and your generosity of spirit. That is above all what's needed. Don't get upset if you say, oh my gosh, I wish I could help out in an area of law, but I don't have a law degree.
Right.
Who cares? You know, you'd be surprised how many people I know who are way smarter than lawyers and have no experience whatsoever in the law. But what they do have is a very deep interest in being of help and in being of service to their community. So they have directed action from the very beginning. You can't ask for better than that as a place to start. Just having a willing spirit and a conscientious attitude and a discipline, wanting to create change. No credentials, no formal credentials are really required beyond that. I mean, if you have added gifts in that you have specific training in other areas, that's fine too. But I would take, you know, I ran a journalism training program.
I was going to ask you about it. I said, can we encourage you to do that again?
Oh, Lord, I will need to have a stretcher handy for me. But here's the thing. I didn't require any college degree or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not interested in your college degree. Or even when people came to the newspaper and applied for a job, and they bring me all these, you know, nice little folders about their stories they've written. I'm not interested in that. Mm-hmm. I will tell them, don't show me. I don't need to see that. I'll tell you what. Here's an assignment. We close to the courts. Get it done by 2:00.
Wow.
That's it. I don't want to know because your printed words don't tell me anything. They don't tell me how long it took you to write them. They don't tell me how many people had to help you get them in a state of readability. It doesn't tell me anything at all that I really want to know. I want to know whether you can write a story fast.
I want to know whether you're asking good questions.
Mm.
I want to know whether you're thinking well, or that you're thinking at all.
Well.
So I'm not worried about that at all.
Well, I think you might get a lot
used
of us
teach,
asking you to start the program
at
again.
The college level. And the way I would do it is I would not have them write anything, but they would have to present things. Present. The work initially was all about presentations. And then the entire class gets to grade the person making the presentation. And the first time we tried this and they were so taken by this thing, I said, okay, so here are your topics. And let's start with your presentation. And you would be amazed how people went through these conniptions and so forth. But and they were very generous. I said, well, what do you think on a scale of 1 to 10? What do you think about this person's presentation? Oh, we think it's a 10. We think it's a 9. We think it's an 8. I said, really? I was thinking maybe a 4, 3, 4. But you say 9, 10. I would ask the person, do you think you did a 9, 10? And they said, yes. I said, well, all right then. We have consensus. So I will put, even though I think you're a 3, 4, I'll put you down as a 9, 10. And would you know the whole class, I mean, incredibly high numbers. And then I told them the bad news. I said, since I have a class full of really brilliant people, if you get less than 10, it's a failing grade. I will hold you, as of this moment, to functioning at 10, which means you don't have very much more to learn. But if you think you are truthfully around a 3, 4, well, that's a whole different thing.
Wow.
Because you're telling me you have room to grow. And that's what you want. So I'm not interested in the 8s and 9s and 10s. You don't belong in a class because you have nothing to learn. Well, everybody goes now back to the other end of the spectrum. And they say, oh, I thought that was like a 3, 2, 3. I'll say, well, all right, now you're getting the point. The idea is that you have to reach a point where you understand what is important. And what is important is learning and growing and giving yourself room to grow. That is incredibly attractive to me. And so you shouldn't worry too much about whether you have the qualifications to fit into this notch or that notch.
Mm-hmm.
Just worry that you want to find your right place. You want to be in proper sync with what your heart wants you to do and what your spirit tells you should do. And you'll be brilliant at anything you want to do.
Wow. Well, I'm going to run with that.
Yeah, don't start off at a 10.
I know. I've learned my lesson. I think I'm going to start with a 3.
Let people think you're a 10, but in your heart, you know, well, I'm really a 3. But I'm going to work like heck to be a 10.
May I ask you that?
I'll be a 10.
We'll say, may I ask you, how long did you have the journalism program? How many years did that go for?
I did it for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did it for 4 years. But each cycle had 28 students in it.
Well,
and it's really intensive. It, in fact, was called the Intensive Journalism Workshop. And people could not believe that they would have had to work so hard. But by the time they graduated, mm-hmm. they were functioning as graduate students of Columbia University.
Wow.
On the same level or better.
Well, Yatrice, I'm going to pray that you resurrect an online version of this class so you won't need a stretcher.
No, but you're well on your way, because that's what we looked for. And that's how we accepted students into the program. We would have a panel of about 5 people. We're all looking for different things. and then we take a vote. And that even wasn't final. We gave everybody a chance to show us for themselves what they wanted to do and how far away from that goal they were. And if they honestly told us that, well, hey, you're in. Because I know I could make you, I know I could make you do that impossible thing and reach your goal. That was my talent. Mm. But if we can just pinpoint how far you are from your goal, genuinely motivated, and you want to do something very, very specific that we can assist you with, and that's how you help. You just, it's really directing. You're not teaching anybody anything. You're just redirecting their energy.
Wow. Well,
you're redirecting them.
Well, I'm going to take your words of wisdom and apply it and then check in with you and let you know how it's going.
Oh, that would be great. That
but I'm
going to
start
great.
At a humble 3.
But well, you're a 10. But in terms of the actual skills that you want to acquire and to share with others, maybe you're 3, maybe you're 4. But the idea is that you already have placed yourself on a trajectory of growth. And you could work with a person like that 24 hours a day.
Okay, well I'm looking forward to this. Great. Thank you so much, Eutrice.
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
God bless you and you and everyone else in the audience. I want everyone to have a safe 2017.
Thank you so much.
Have more lead stories. God bless.
Thank you. And that almost brings us to the end of the program, but I do want to say this before we go. You have no idea how fulfilling it is to simply be a facilitator of people exchanging opinions and ideas with each other and using this forum as a way to connect. It is not important whether people agree or disagree, but it is very striking to me the confidence with which you present your ideas. And that says there's a great deal of growth here and a great deal of trust because your ideas are perhaps your most intimate possessions, what you're thinking. And I marvel all the time that people become more and more comfortable expressing their thoughts and their views with the confidence that they will be respected, they will be heard, and they will be appreciated. And that's what I'm hoping that we can do, that we can become, as a group, brave enough to say what we really want to say, knowing that even if people disagree, we don't have to be disagreeable. And this is a high form of education, peer-to-peer education. People sharing their actual experiences, people sharing their actual views with the idea that we're not just trying to argue with each other. We're trying to have a conversation with each other. And it is not the norm in media, whether major media or alternative media, that people regularly engage in this exercise. Why is this important? Because at some point we have to proselytize. We have to come into contact with people who are not themselves accustomed to trading ideas and information this way, but who also are yearning for engagement. They're looking for information, and perhaps you might be a person to start that process, to trigger this response in them that they can feel comfortable talking to people about what they believe. And I believe that is the greatest thing about this particular program. I want to thank you for allowing me the great privilege of being in your company. I say it all the time. I don't take it for granted. And I, too, am on a learning curve, as the rest of us all are. We are looking to get a deeper understanding of things and greater clarity about things. So to all of you, I wish you a productive new year, a year in which you deepen and you broaden your base of knowledge and you commit yourselves to improving that part of yourself that you think you really want to concentrate on and make strides in. And certainly to continue to be of service. It is the greatest gift we have, to be of service, and to be unafraid of whatever is coming your way. Believe that you can deal with it, you can survive it, you can move through it. None of us is immortal, but we certainly don't yield to succumb to fear even before it arrives here. We do need to plan, though, and we do need to build up our scientific response to what's ahead. And I'll be talking a lot about that in the new year. So thank you for a great year. Thank you for being such wonderful people. There's a lot that I hope we can accomplish together in the new year. It's a pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Jack Rasmus with Alternative Visions. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who are positive. Bring positive dimension into your life. And please, run like hell away from people who don't. Become a relative of Usain Bolt and run with great speed away from people like that. So we'll see each other Monday, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Bye-bye. Together to fight this holy Armageddon. So when the man comes, there will be no doom. Have pity on those whose chances grow ten. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Lord.